I told church Sunday school, I said, man, I had one of them weeks, man. I just had one of them bad weeks. Everything went wrong. Every time I touched something, it just something else was going on. And I told you, I was on the trailer trying to get April Albia's car off. I crawled through the back hatch, and I crawled in there, and I got in behind the seat, and I put it in neutral, and the thing wouldn't roll. So I put my leg out the window, and I'm trying to shove it. The window's real small. Usually I can go into a car pretty good. I can go bend down and get in and out pretty good. And I put my leg on the fender well because I couldn't open the door. So I put my leg on the fender well, I was trying to push, and then I leaned out and I couldn't get it, and then I shoved it real good. I'm outside the car. More of me was out than in. The car takes off. And I'm trying to get to the brake, and I'm trying to hold on at the same time because it's going down off the trailer pretty fast. And I'm holding on to that thing, and I run into the garage with the hatchback. And bent the hatchback and bent the garage and all kinds of stuff. I got out. Oh, man, Lord God. And, you know, some things happen. And then, you know, the lawnmower's breaking. And every time you fix one thing, something else breaks. And it's just been one of them weeks, man. And trying to get something done and just been crazy. And so I said, Lord God, help me. Help me, Lord. Because every time my wife said, have you read your Bible? I said, I've read my Bible. I read my Bible. And I said, I just need the Lord to do something, help me here. And I was praying, Lord, show me. And then I go to the hospital last night, I told Sunday school, and I go into Jason's room. Jason called and requested for me to be there, and I went up, and I was going to go anyway, but I went up anyway. So the lady's sitting in there, end up leading her to the Lord. What a blessing. I don't remember her name, Stephanie or Brandy or something. I forget her name, but Brother Ron's going to take a Bible tour today, and it's just a blessing. And I came out, I'm walking through the car garage. I'm going, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you. It's worth it. All week long, it's been a mess. It's been hard. I thank you, Lord. Get a soul saved. Hallelujah. It's worth it. And man, that girl, when she raised her head and after we prayed, she said, wow, wow, it's real, ain't it? I said, sure is. It's real. Thank God it's real, man. I wouldn't want to serve a God that's dead. Amen. I wouldn't want to serve something that ain't real. The Lord is real, man. And take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 13. I debated what to preach and asked the Lord to show me. And Matthew 13. I got to go Wednesday or Friday. I'm going up to preach at a church, and a guy called, and that's another thing. I've been getting calls right and left. People ask some questions, sometimes stupid questions, but it's still a question. I still answer the question, and the reason why I mentioned that, Carrie texted me and said, what is this picture on my dashboard? It was a picture of a tire. I said, your tire are low of air, and so I said, pump them up. And she pumped it up. She said, the light didn't go off. And then she goes, oh, sorry, the light went off. And I said, thank God you could do something finally on your own. And she said, I did it on my own. So I'm messing with her. She's like a daughter to me. But anyway, Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Boy, I tell you what, I always want the Lord to show up. Amen. And you know what? I was there right where the places he went. And I think back when I'm reading my Bible now, I think back about those places, about Capernaum, Nazareth, Galilee. I think back on those places because I seen them. I was there. And what a blessing it was. And it says, great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. And saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. You know what? When you're putting out the word of God, when you're passing out tracts, and that's why we have tracts in the foyer, you don't find very many churches passing out tracts. You don't find people giving out gospel tracts to tell people how to get saved. I go through the McDonald's the other night, and I went to give a girl a tract, and she goes, oh, I got one. And I said, what's the name of the church on the back? And she turned it over. She said, Faith Baptist. And every time somebody tells me, I got one of them, I said, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And they say, I've seen it. You got a different one? I said, yeah, I got a different one. Here you go. And I said, what's the name of the church that was on the back? They said, Faith Baptist. And people, I thank God you guys are putting the Word of God out. You're getting the Word of God out. Everywhere you go, you ought to track. You ought to put tracks wherever you go. If you go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom all the time. And I mean, I go in the bathroom. And man, I go in the bathroom, I leave tracks in the bathroom. You ought to leave tracks, amen. I go in the bathroom whether I have to go or not. I go in there and leave a track. Because I want to put the Word of God. That's where people take time to read it, amen. And you want to see people get saved and get to the Word of God. And you ought to take tracks. You ought to tell people about Jesus Christ. Here's Halloween's coming up. The world goes crazy over Halloween. Everybody dressed up like demons and devils and all that stuff. I don't want no part of that. I don't want no part of demons and devils and all that stuff. Some of y'all fighting some demons and devils. And I've had some demons and devils in the past. I don't want no more demons and devils. Amen. But kids go out and so you're going to take Halloween from them? No. We our kids, we tell them, if you're going to be at home and you're going to give out candy, make sure you give a track to every kid that comes to the door. At least you're getting a track into somebody's house that normally wouldn't take the track. And somebody maybe not open the door when you knock on the door to tell them about Jesus Christ. They'll take a track and go into the house. You ought to give them a track. Get a bunch of tracks and put them out Halloween for Halloween. And the Bible says, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. The Lord's looking for sowers. He's looking for people that sow the Word of God. He's looking for them. Jason is a farmer, and some of y'all have had gardens, and I've never had a garden. I'm a city boy. I've never planted anything that I know of other than bad seed from the past. And now I'm planting good things now. But I'm talking about putting it in the ground. I've never really planted anything and put it in the ground. You said, that's pretty sad. Yeah, it is. I can't even grow a flower. I mean, I put a good flower in the ground, and it'll die before before the weekend. And I know you're supposed to water it and all that, but but it'll die. And my daughter has a garden. She does good on it. But I've never had a garden. I've never done that. I was a city boy. I never grew up interested in having a garden. If I got hungry and we have food shortage, maybe I would do a garden. But a sower is somebody putting out seed. Somebody putting out seed. And what Bible Jesus likens a seed as the Word of God. And that's what you ought to be doing, putting out the seed. Why? Because whenever you put a seed in the ground, it always amazes me. The Bible, Jesus said that the seed has to die, and then once it dies, it come forth, and something will grow from it. It breaks open. That's what he's talking about. It breaks open, and that seed will break open and then grow corn, whatever, if it's a corn seed or whatever it is, it'll grow something. So when you put the Word of God out, and God said his Word will not return void, and the most powerful thing any seed could ever be was the Word of God. The most powerful seed there is the Word of God. And if you put the Word of God out, something's going to happen. If something's going to go, I mean, God's going to save somebody. Somebody's going to hear the Word of God, or somebody's going to read it. You know what I do? I ride by, and you might see it on the street. I don't throw out chick tracks out the window, but I throw other tracks out the window. I ride by, people be going to the mailbox, and I see them, and I throw a track right so it lands right by their mailbox, and they'll be picking up their mail, and they'll go, they'll look up, and then they'll reach down and pick up the track. And why? I'm trying to sow seed, putting out the Word of God. And Jesus said this parable he spake, and he said, and when he sowed, look at what the Bible says. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony ground, where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you're sitting here this morning. You're listening. I hope you're listening. I hope you're not looking at your phone. I hope you're not doing another thing. I hope you're listening. He said, he that hath ears to hear, listen. Now, the Bible says this. It's a crazy way the Lord's prepared us to grow. The way the Lord does it, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. So God chose us, the Word of God being preached and being read, for you to grow and have that seed inside. If you're saved, you got the seed of God inside you. Amen. It's in there. The Word of God is a seed. And the Bible, I can show you all that. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. So if you're saved, you got an incorruptible seed inside you. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot. But it's up to you whether that seed is going to grow. It's up to you. Now, any farmer knows that you just can't put seed in the ground and just leave it. You know that. You cannot put seed in the ground and just leave it. It's got to be nurtured. The ground's got to be prepared. The ground's got to be good. All that's got to be done. There's some work in farming, folks. There's some work in soul winning. There's some work in trying to put the word of God out. There's work in it. And what happens is most people say, well, I ain't got time for that. I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that you're going to lay up, the Bible says, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. The only thing that you're going to lay up before you is the people that you've won to Jesus Christ and the things you've done for God on this planet, the things you've done and the people you've led to the Lord, the people you've talked to the Lord about or about Jesus Christ about and the things that you've given to the Lord. He said this. He said, if you give anybody a cup of water in my name, you'll have a reward. I mean, whatever you do, he said, you'll have a reward if you're doing it for my sake. Wednesday night, we went through some words. We went through places where the Bible says for his sake, for his sake, for his sake. We're here for this morning, I hope, is for his sake and for our sake, that we might grow closer to him and love him. And the Lord wants you to grow closer to him. He wants that seed that's inside you to grow. He wants that seed to be nurtured. And that word of God is what's going to nurture that seed. And the seed of God is inside you. It says some water, some plant, some water, but God giveth the increase. God will give the increase if the word of God is put out. But what happens is we get so caught up in other things. I always pray this, Lord, help me be about your business. Jesus said this. He said, I must be about my Father's business. I said, Lord, help me be about your business. Help me always put your business first. And other things last. I'll be working on something, and the Lord said, you know, that bus needs to be fixed. That's my work. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll get to it. I'll get up there and get that thing fixed. And whatever it is, God's work, it should be first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that you have need of, God said, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. Now look at this. Look on down in verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And disciples came and said unto him, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them is not given. He's telling his disciples, he says, it's not given to them, it's given to you. Now, I've said this in Sunday school. If you read the Bible, I've had people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I've read it all the way through. It's the Bible is a spiritual book. For you to understand this book, you got to be born from above. You got to be God's child. And what happens is God starts revealing the word of God to you. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost of God inside you will teach you all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So it's a spiritual book. It's a spiritual atmosphere for a child of God. And that seed inside you needs to be nourished. It needs to grow. It needs to do something for him, for his glory. He says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me ask you something. Do you know any of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Do you know of any of them? Do you know anything? People say, is there mysteries in the Bible? That's a revealed truth or some truth that has not been revealed yet. A mystery. As a truth that has not been revealed, God's going to reveal it to his children. He reveals it to his disciples. Look on down. Look what he says. But he said, whosoever hath? Now check this out. This should concern you. This should concern me. Every child of God ought to be concerned. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundant. And he shall have more abundant. Not talking about physical things. Not talking about financial things. That could be involved in it. But whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. He said, I'm going to take away, because here he has the truth, and he sat on it and didn't do nothing with it. Didn't do nothing with the seed, the word of God inside of him. Didn't do nothing with it. He says, and he just kind of held it back. Now look here. And it says, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not. That's a sad thing for a child of God have eyes and have been saved and can't see spiritual things. You can't see it. You can't see the need of spiritual things in your own life. You can't see the need of spiritual things in somebody else's life. You can't see the need of souls going to hell. You can't see it. You said, what? I got my own thing going on. I got to take care of me. It's about me. No, it ain't. If God saved you, it's about him. It's about others. And what happens is you'll get so caught up and God says, okay, what he hath, take it away. He didn't do nothing with it. I've given you all this and you ain't done nothing with it. If God's blessed you financially, physically, materially, whatever it is, you ought to use it for his glory. Whatever it is, use it for his glory. It's his anyway. Look what the Bible says. You say, why am I old man? I made it myself. No, you didn't. You're a fool if you say that. Somebody's helped you and God's helped you. Verse 13, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For their hearts, people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And the Lord's talking about converting people, getting people saved. And people say, well, I don't want to know. I was talking to this girl at the hospital, and I said, are you saved? She said, well, I believe in God. I said, well, the Bible says, in James, it says the devil believes and trembles. I said, the Muslims believe in God. You think they're going to go to heaven? She said, no. I said, so believing God in God is just not good enough, right? She said, right. And she said, you know, I've always wondered about that. She said, well, I was baptized Lutheran. And I said, baptism, if baptism can save you, I'd buy a fire truck and run over town and squirt everybody down. She said, she laughed. I said, baptism can't save you. See, most Christians don't know that. You wouldn't open your mouth. You said, well, I ain't going to say nothing because I don't know nothing. You know why you don't know nothing? Because you don't care to know. And you're saved. You got the seed inside you. It's not developing. It's not growing. It's not doing anything. It's laying dormant. Look here. He says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye have seen. He's telling his disciples, he said, what you're seeing right now, what he's doing, Jesus Christ is doing, he said, a lot of prophets in the Old Testament, man, wanted to see it. As I walked, me and my wife walked along Galilee, along the shores of Galilee, went in Capernaum, I thought, man, he was here. He was right here. He allowed me to go see where he was. It says, and you go over there and the Jews are blinded to the truth. And you know what happens to a person when they blind themselves, that they don't want to hear the truth? That truth becomes lightning in their life. Light rejected becomes lightning. Now look on down. He says, when any heareth, and when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. That wicked one is the devil. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He explains it to his disciples. He that receiveth the seed into a stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and it says, anon, with joy, it means once they hear it, they with joy receive it. It says, he hath not root in himself. There's no roots. My father used to say, you need to put some roots in the ground. And he said, well, rolling stone never gets nowhere. And I said, that don't make no sense. But he's saying, put roots in the ground. But the word of God is root, has roots to it. He says, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, and by he is offended. Something happens in a Christian person, they receive the word of God. They say, oh, yeah, sounds like the truth. That's it, man. That's it. That's good. Praise the Lord. Preach it. And then all of a sudden something comes up and they go, oh man, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I think I got to go somewhere else. And they go off. He says, as soon as persecution and tribulation come in their life, they just quit. I've seen hundreds of Christians do that. Something will come up in their life, they don't understand it. Rather than saying, like Job said, he said, though you slay me, I don't care if you kill me, I'm going to serve you. What happens is when something, little trouble comes in your life, you're ready to turn tail and say, forget God. I don't need him. I don't need this. Job had it right when he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now look on down. We're going to get to it. He said, when the wicked one cometh and catches away that which was sown in his heart, verse 19, that he is not, he received not the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony ground, stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and on the, with joy receive it. He says, yeah, that's truth. You hear that down south all the time. Yes, sir, that's the truth. That's the truth if I ever heard it. And they don't do nothing about it. And yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, here it is. A lot of Christians are in this category. They receive the word of God, and thorns come along and hear the word, like stuff I'm going through this week, things going on. You go, man! And it says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word that it becometh unfruitful. Now, let me ask you something. Are you fruitful? Are you bearing any kind of fruit in your life? I'm talking about good fruit, spiritual fruit. Are you bearing any fruit? It says, he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also bear fruit and bring forth some 100, some 60, some 30. So he's saying, if those that hear the word of God and they're on good ground, they're in good ground, they hear the word and they understand it, and they bear fruit. Now, you know that we've talked about that tree that Jesus walked by and cursed. That tree could be your family tree. You could be the only thing standing in between your future descendants that's going to make a change. You could be the only one to make that change for the future of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren on how you receive the word and what you do with it. But let's go back to verse 11. Go back to verse 11. Verse 11, he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, but to them it's not given. Now, every child of God ought to know something about the mysteries in the word of God. You ought to know something. We always like to watch these mysteries things. And, you know, the Jews thought that Jesus Christ was going to restore the kingdom right then. Now, if you read your Bible, you know the Lord's going to restore a kingdom. The kingdom cometh, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know the Lord told disciples, this is what you pray. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that thy kingdom come. One day the kingdom's going to come. And he's saying, tell them, the disciples, pray the kingdom come. So when Jesus shows up, the disciples kept saying, are you going to restore the kingdom? Why? Because the Jews knew they were going to be in charge. They knew it. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave this earth. And he said the prophets desired to see those things that they seen. But the Jews rejected him. The nation of Israel rejected him. And they said, we don't want no part of this man. And they rejected the truth. And they rejected and became lightning to him. That's why for 2,000 years they lost their land. And God gave it back to them. And here we are in 2018, the Jews got their land back. They're trying to defend every border on each end. And they're saying, Lord, Messiah's got to come. He's got to come. The Messiah's got to come. And the Jews, disciples asked Jesus, look in Acts chapter 1. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. We're going through a little study here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. And it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him. This is after Jesus' resurrection. This is after he rose from the grave. After his 40 days, the Bible says he was with them 40 days, 40 nights. And they said, okay, this is going to be now, right? It's going to come now. Verse 6. And when they were therefore come on together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom, again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to give us the kingdom? And look what the Lord said. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the time and the season which the Father put in his own power. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And that word of God has been out throughout all the world. He says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of sight. They're standing there. They asked him in verse 6, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And all of a sudden he starts going up. Where are you going? Whoa. Where are you going? You going to leave us here? What's happening? He said, here's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And Israel thought, we're going to have it. They ain't going to have it yet. The child of God, when the kingdom comes, is going to come by force. See, every religion in Islam, they believe the way you get there, they believe the iman, their iman's coming. And they believe Muslim religion is going to be worldwide, and they're going to bring in the kingdom. They're going to bring in the kingdom. And it's going to be Islam. That's what they believe. I mean, if you read the Quran, that's what they believe. They believe the world kingdom is going to be run by Islam. But the Shiites and the Sunnis can't get together on which iman is going to be in power. They can't get together. Thank God they can't. But one day they will. They'll get it together. They'll quit fighting each other. And they're going to say, whoa. You know how that's going to be united? It's going to be united under the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to unite the Shiites, the Turks, and the Sunnis. He's going to unite them. And why? They're going to go against Israel. So he said, here's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And these Muslims believe the way we're going to get the kingdom in Europe is what we do is we out-populate them. We'll out-populate them, and then we'll get Sharia law. I saw on the news the other day where a Muslim imam said this, he said, if Donald Trump thinks that he's going to outlaw Sharia law in America, he said, we're leaving. I thought, praise God, get him out of here. If Donald Trump thinks he's going to do that, but, you know, they don't believe that. Even if he did, they would still do it. Why? They're going to take the kingdom by force. The Catholic Church tried to take the kingdom and still trying to take the kingdom by force. The Catholic Church believes that the Pope is the supreme ruler. If you don't know nothing about religion, you need to study. I mean, open your eyes. Don't stick your head in the sand. Find out if this is true or not. So the Catholic Church believes that Pope is the supreme ruler, and they believe when everybody becomes a Catholic by force, then the kingdom cometh. That's what they believe. Religion, I tell that girl, I said, religion's not the answer. I said, what do you think all the war's been? It's been over religion. All the war's been over religion. And the Bible claims in Revelation chapter 18, 19, the Bible talks about the church, the Catholic Church. It claims that the church had something to do with every war and everybody that died. That's wild. So the Lord wants you to know something about the kingdom. I'll tell you something about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is physical. The kingdom of heaven is on this earth. The kingdom of God is spiritual. In the kingdom of God, you're saved. You got the kingdom of God inside you. So how do you spread the kingdom of God? By telling other people about Jesus Christ. You want to spread the kingdom? But what happens is religion, they start saying, we're going to bring in the kingdom. Let's pray, God, help us to bring in the kingdom. They think the world, they're going to make the world better before the king comes. That ain't happening. Guess what? Have you been watching the news? You think the world's getting better? No, it ain't. People are killing each other all the time. And Christians need to be on guard, need to know your Bible, need to know some mysteries that's happening. You need to know what's going on about the sowing. And see, the devil is always trying to stop the word of God from going out. And he'll try to stop you from growing. And that's why I tell all the guys, they said, so-and-so said they're going to come to church. I said, don't get discouraged if they don't. You got to remember the element of the devil and the spirituality of things. The devil, unclean spirits, try to hinder anybody from getting closer to God. The devil don't want you to get close to God. You know, old Glenn Stocker being up here, he said, what you got to do is say, well, what would God want? What would the devil want? You make the choice. What would God want? What would the devil want? The devil don't want you to know the Bible. He don't want you to study the Bible. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to sow the seed of the Word of God. He don't want you to do that.
Does God do?
Yeah, God wants you to say the word. He wants you to be about the Father's business. You're his child. He wants you to be about his Father's business. So the mystery of the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. One of the mysteries of the kingdom is this, the Lord's going to come back. But look, take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, real quick. I know this, I hope this is interesting to some of y'all. I love this stuff, man. I told you this morning, when I started reading the Word of God, man, I couldn't understand a bit of it. I couldn't understand it. Then all of a sudden, as I kept reading, I don't like to give up on nothing. I'm the kind of guy, even I walk away from a little bit, but I'll come right back to it and try to figure it out. But the Word of God, God wants you to grow. If you got the seed inside you, the Bible says God puts his seed inside you, and he protects it, and he cuts your flesh loose from your soul, and he's protecting his seed. So he wants that seed to develop. Now look in your Bible, look at this, talking about a mystery. Here's a mystery. And Romans chapter 11, he says this in verse 25. Look at this. He says, I will not have you be ignorant, brethren. So whenever God's going to show you something, he said, I don't want you to be stupid about or ignorant about it, not understand it. Ignorant is not being able to understand, not stupid, but being able to not understand something. God says, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. I want you to understand. I want you to know what's going to happen. He said, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Here's a mystery. He said that lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness, when the Jews said, you're going to restore the kingdom now? Are you going to do it? And all of a sudden he starts going up. And the Jews, after World War II, the Jews started saying, oh, there is no God. Why would God let 30 million people die and 6 million Jews in concentration camps? You heard Brother Bill Grady last week say on Sunday night. He went through that thing. Why would God allow that? You know why? Man says, get out of my life. I don't need you. Kick God out of government. Kick God out of school. Christians even kick God out of their house. And God's out of our country. You know, and God, you have it on our money. In God we trust. They want to take that off. In God we trust. Why? They're not trusting God. They're trusting the almighty dollar. So nations around the world say, get God out of here. We don't want no part of him. We don't want no part of this preaching, telling people about they're going to hell. We don't want no part of that. That's mean. No, what's mean is you don't tell them, because there is a hell. That's what's mean. That's cruel. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, only in part. Brother Brady went through this last Sunday night. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, the key to this whole passage right here, he says, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. See, the Gentiles, their fullness, the Gentile reign started with Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar came in Daniel chapter 2, you'll find Daniel in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar came down to Jerusalem and took all the Jews out. That was the time of the Gentiles, the Bible calls it. Here we are, thousands of years later. He says, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, the Jews will turn back to the Messiah. We're getting so close to that time where the Jews are looking, they're right in Israel. And where's in Israel? Those Jews over there, the religious Jews, they're praying for the Messiah to come. When we went up to the Wailing Wall, I got a video of it. I'm videoing them. They're up at the Wailing Wall. And the Wailing Wall is just the wall of where the Temple Mount was. There's no, that wasn't the temple. It wasn't the temple. It was the Temple Mount. All that was is where the temple sat on. And they got the Dome of the Rock up there called the Rock of Omar. And the Muslims put that up. The Turks did. So when the Jews, they come to that wall, they got cracks in the wall. They're putting little notes in there going, and they're going like this. They're praying, Messiah come, Messiah God. And they're praying for Israel. And man, I'm talking about night and day. Not just an hour a day. Not just 2 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Somebody's at the wall and they're praying, Messiah come. They want the Messiah. the religious ones. 80% of the Jews don't want nothing but money. And what happens is Gentiles, what we've gotten into as Christians even, is almighty dollar. We worship the dollar more than we worship God. It's the green. We got to have the green. And you know what? Like a preacher said one time, he said, you know what God thought about money by the kind of people he gave it to. We all need money to pay bills. We all need money to be comfortable. But what happens is we get to the place, you either go, that's it, I'm tired, I give up on God. I wanted to be rich and he ain't let me be rich. You know why? He knows that hurts you. It'll take you away from him. So I've even said this, Lord, you can try it on me if you want. But look at this. Mystery is happening. That's a mystery. He says, it's for you to know the mysteries. Do you know it? Do you know the mysteries? I'll show you another one. Take your Bible, look in, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Look here. There's another mystery. Jesus Christ inside you. Boy, can you imagine thinking about the Lord being inside you? When you ask him to save you, he's in there. That's why you can't have no peace in doing wrong. You have no satisfaction like you used to. It's Christ in you. And look at it, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Matthew 1:26. And look at what he says, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. This is a mystery, God saying, I'm making it manifest to you. I'm going to show you. You know what? We ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing me something. The God of this book is alive. Amen. He's real. But sometimes we get so caught up in our cares of this world, like that Bible says, it chokes the word in us. We get so caught up in trying to make a living and trying to pay the bills and trying all these things, rather than getting on our knees and saying, God, help us. Help us to love you. God, help us not be foolish. Help us to do what we're supposed to do for your honor, for your glory. God, give us this day our daily bread. God, provide for us. And look to him. Look to him on a daily basis. On a daily basis, asking him to help. We don't do that. We check out the money markets, and we check out all this other stuff. And God's in control. He can control all that mess. If you have need of, he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God says, I'll supply your need. I'll take care of you. Trust me. Don't trust Rome. Don't trust the world system. Trust me. I'll show you something. When you get your eyes on him and get your eyes in the word of God, he starts showing you things. You start saying, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You start getting your eyes on him, man, you have peace in the midst of a storm in your life. No matter what you're going through, you'll have peace in your heart, have peace in your life. You'll be able to sing praises to him on a daily basis. And God will miraculously provide for you. Miraculously. I've seen him do it over and over again. Miraculously supply your needs. And he'll do it for you. But look at verse 27. But what happens is we don't have our eyes on him. Look what the Bible says in verse 27. To whom God would make known. Look what it is. To whom? Back at verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Are you his saints? Yes. If you're saved, you're a saint of God. He said he'll make known to you, to the saints, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You got something that you could never buy. I don't care if you had 100 million Donald Trump's income. You got something inside you you can't buy. And you got something better than the deficit, a $20 trillion deficit. That ain't nothing compared to what you got. Nothing. What you got inside you, It's, you can't even compare it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's living in there. He's inside me. And one day when he comes back, he's going to blow a trumpet. And the Bible says he's going to change this vile body and fashion it like onto his glorious body. You got something inside you more powerful than any atomic bomb or any bomb they ever make, whoever will make. You got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Guess what? He said, no man taketh my life. He said, I lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And he did. We went to Calvary. We stood there looking at Calvary, the place of the skull. We sat there looking at, and man, looking at that thing, I'm just dumbfounded looking at that thing. We sang, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, dying for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. I'm sitting there looking at Calvary thinking, woo, the greatest event in all the world history was right here. And the greatest thing that ever happened to any person is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look what it says. Christ in you, that's a mystery. He says, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Do you know that you got Jesus Christ inside you? Jesus Christ is not sitting beside you. He's not out there beside, running beside the car. He's inside you. He's in here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You got something that's greater than anything this world ever has. Anything that you could ever buy is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When's the last time you thanked him for showing you that mystery? Showing it to you. You know, you can never be satisfied in this world. You never will be. And if you're backslidden, I don't want to be backslidden at the time of the rapture. Can you imagine you're in a bar and you're drinking or you're smoking something that you shouldn't be smoking, and all of a sudden you hear a trumpet. You go, man, that's a trumpet. And all of a sudden, you're gone. And you stand up before God and you still got smoke in your breath, in your mouth. And the Lord says, hey, son, welcome home. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somebody said, chewing tobacco. He said, if you chew tobacco, he said, if you're going to heaven, you can go to heaven even chewing tobacco, but you have to go to hell to spit. But that's true, man. You got Christ in you, the hope of glory. When's the last time you thank God for that? He said, I'm going to show you the mysteries of the kingdom. He said, but look what he says over here. I'm going to read this to you. And he says this. He said, verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And then he goes on, he says, on down, he says, he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, and which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Let me ask you something. What kind of fruit are you bringing forth as a child of God with the hope of glory, knowing the mysteries where people in the Old Testament desired to see those things and God revealed them to you through his book? What kind of fruit is that producing in your life? If you're not producing fruit, I'd be concerned. And when that girl got saved last night, I went out, thank you, Lord. I've been praying for fruit. I want more, see more people saved. I want to see more people come and go know God. I want to see more people get closer to God. Is something wrong in your Christian life if you find yourself not going forward but going backwards? And there's nothing wrong with him. It had never been anything wrong with him. He's already provided everything you need, but there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. And if you're not concerned enough to get that whatever, find out whatever's wrong, and you, most of the time you know what's wrong, to get it right, you ain't going to be around long. Not in church. Not serving him. Not producing fruit. It's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What are you doing? To much is given, much is required. This church has been given so much. So much truth has come through the doors and preached and from this pulpit. Not just me, others. So much things has happened. To much is given, much is required. Are we reaching the potential that we should be doing in our own Christian walk? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we producing some 100, some 60, some 30? You say, well, preacher, I'm so caught up in stupid stuff in my life. Get it right. Get it out. Lay aside whatsoever that's hindering you. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Get over yourself. Get over your pity party. Get over your whining. Jesus Christ went all the way to Calvary. People mock. I was sat there at Calvary. I looked up. I got a picture of them little boys. There were a couple Muslim kids up on top of the wall, up on top of the temple on Calvary, on top of that hill. And those kids were mocking. You say, I didn't get mad. I looked up there and I started saying, oh, God, have mercy on those little boys. They're Muslim, but God, have mercy on them. Help them hear the word of God and get saved. I want to produce fruit in every aspect of my life. Every aspect. I want to produce fruit. I want to produce good fruit. Not rotten. Good. How about you? You got the Justin message. Father, I pray, God, you'd help us this morning. Lord, you said some would produce 100, some 60, some 30. And you said it's for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I pray, help us to know this book. I know the devil knows the book backwards and forwards. But help us to know this book to be able to help other people and show, be able to give them the word. The Bible says a word spoken in the due time is, or at the right time, is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I pray, God, help us to speak the word to people that are going through troubles and trials. Help us not always be the one that has to be ministered to. Help us to be ministered to others. You said the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And Lord, I pray, if we're going to be like you, we need to not to always be ministered to, but to minister. Help us to put out the word. Help us to be a good sower, to sow the seed. Help us, Lord God. Lord, you've been good to our church. We've got all these chick tracks and Bibles and different ministries and bus ministry and all the different ministries of church and people working it and they're doing a job, and I thank you for them, God. I pray you bless them and just give them handfuls on purpose. Help them not to be weary in well-doing. My Father, help us not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season, the Bible says, we shall reap if we faint not. Help us not to faint. My Father, help our children, our wives, the husbands, not to faint in the way. And Lord, help us to fortify ourselves with the Word of God. Help us to get stronger rather than weaker. As the time go on, I want to get stronger as I grow in the Lord. I want to get stronger. Father, I pray, I want my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my church, Father, my brothers and sisters in Christ and their children, their grandchildren, get stronger in the Word. Help us to hunger and thirst for you. Lord, help us. Like people say, they don't know the Bible, can't read the Bible, can't get it, but they know how to work an iPhone. They know how to get in the cell. They know all the aspects of everything. They're lying. They can know the mysteries. They can know it. They can look at the Word of God. Help us to hunt thirst for you. Hunger. Lord, I love you. I pray, God, there'd be somebody here today that's not saved. I pray you save them. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. How